In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins, the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. In considering the life of our Lord and his sacred humanity, we immediately come in, I say, contact with the way of poverty that we see him and our Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, live. It's as if there's this, it's a need for the interior life to have a certain freedom. Last night we considered the beauty, the gift of freedom that God has given us. Indeed, Lord, we want to choose life. In order to live that way, in order to truly follow Christ, we must be free, and therefore we must be detached. And detached from so many things, not simply the material things of this earth that can lead us in the wrong direction, but detached in a way from our own future, our own preferences, Yes, we need a certain detachment from the way we look at the world, allowing the Lord to show us the way. And for that matter, allowing him to use those around me, people I trust, to help me along in this way. And we see the way of Jesus right from the beginning in Bethlehem, don't we? That detachment there called poverty, St. Jose writes, I am Joseph's little helper, stable. I don't have much at all. I don't know, it must have been almost distressing in a way for a Blessed Mother, a woman giving birth in a stable. And yet we also get the sense of great peace on the part of Mary, leaving herself in the hands of God, not just at the Annunciation, but everything that comes with it, including giving birth to a child in a stable without complaining. There's another area we probably have to live a certain detachment, right? No complaining. And all this in order to follow Christ. We want to imitate Christ. And Jesus lived a dignified yet simple life. As St. Jose Maria writes in the way, detach yourself from the goods of this world. Love and practice poverty of spirit. Be content with what is sufficient for leading a simple and temperate life. Otherwise, you'll never be an apostle. It's interesting how here, and this is the second point in his chapter on poverty, he connects it to this, to the reality of apostolate. If we're not detached from the things of this world, we will never be an apostle. We need a certain freedom to go out and spread the good news. The Lord sends out those apostles, the disciples. They didn't have a lot. He tells them not to carry too much. There's a certain freedom in that, and it shows a trust in the Lord. And we see that in so many ways in those who come near to the Lord in the different gospel scenes. Of course, that widow who gives everything, the Lord is pleased with that. He points it out. This is saying, Mark recounts in a brief scene in the gospel here, and he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the multitude putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in 2 copper coins, which made a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, her whole living. Certain mystery here in a way. What happened then? What happens next? This woman. I hope we can count on our Lord's helping her along. She was so generous. Our Lord sees it. He points it out. He points her out as an example. And so we can assume she went along with life without a lot of stuff, not a lot of possessions. And here the point too, a great trust in God, to put in all that she had into the treasury. It's a way of saying, okay, for the things of God. She shows a great trust there. And so while we in the middle of the world want to take care of our families, our loved ones, take care of the church, our parish, the poor, we have to be free. We have to, yes, be wise, but we have to beware of that draw to the things of this earth, a lack of faith in a way. Really trusting in the Lord, like we heard in the account of Ruth and Michael Pakalik there, living in, it sounds like almost abject poverty, just a young couple is still in their studies, and they would contribute, they would tithe. With the little money they were making, they would tithe to help the poor. And so, in the way that's appropriate for each one of us, we want to have that spirit, that freedom, in order to, again, to follow Christ and to be an apostle. And Jesus makes it clear that that is part of the demand of following him. As they were going along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Can we see this connection of following the Lord, of being free, of not being attached to a lot of things, in order to go and to proclaim the kingdom of God, to be apostles? And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Lord is making it clear the demands of the Christian life to follow him, they're real. And of course, we should bury the dead piously. And of course, we should communicate with our family members. That's not the Lord isn't asking people to be uncharitable here. Burying the dead is one of the works of mercy. But the point he's making is God comes first. We have to think of, in a way, our mindset has to be service to God, love for God. And of course, that will include taking care of one's family and burying the dead properly, but God comes first. Pope Benedict XVI, in one of his homilies, commenting on the first reading that day, he said, "The first reading reminds us that the greatest things in this life of ours can neither be purchased nor paid for, because the most important and elementary things in our life can only be given. The sun and its light, the air that we breathe, water, the earth's beauty, love, friendship, life itself. We cannot buy any of these essential and central goods, but they are given to us." It's nice to consider just these basic elements of life and give thanks to God for them and realize it's, in a way, that's all I need. God is all I need. And again, we have to look at our situation, take care of our family, and have proper attire for work and whatnot. But always with this realization that God comes first. That what's really essential is, well, within the realm of a sacramental way of looking at life, the sacramental reality of life. Like St. Paul says, seek the things above, not the things of this earth. As far as our goal. The goal is heaven. The goal is union with Christ. The goal is to be another Christ. And, well, sometimes we have to ask our Lord, Lord, take away the things that impede me from really following you, embracing you. Yeah, we can clutter up our life, both materially, literally, we can clutter up our life, and it dissipates our presence of God. And we can also clutter up our life just with the things we think about, the preferences that we have, that disordered seeking of pleasure and power and honor and wealth. That can be an obstacle to union with God. St. Jose Maria had a little prayer that is very practical if we take it to heart and try to ponder it and really pray it and ask our Lord. It's a prayer of petition. Lord, take away from me anything that takes me away from you. That's a real practical prayer. It's not a nice little trite phrase. Lord, take away from me anything that takes me away from you. There's a certain freedom in that. There's a detachment. And things that we're human. We do have a certain attraction, a certain concupiscence, and that can lead us to things that are not proper for a Christian. And the Lord, in his mercy, the Lord is so good. The Lord wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants us to be happy. So maybe we'll see things that need to be taken away. And probably won't be all that easy. Maybe we've settled in, made excuses for ourselves with things. We're not really free. We're not really detached. I remember it had been a meditation years ago. The priest mentioned a little story, a little joke. Some European country, the communist recruiter was trying to get people. A young fellow walked in, and so in the interview, the recruiter says to him, "Now, if you had a mansion with 100 acres, all kinds of livestock, would you give it up for the party, the Communist Party?" And he said, "Oh yeah, sure." He says, "Some 21-year-old guy. And if you had a yacht, a 40-foot yacht with all the most modern equipment, would you give it up for the party?" Yeah, sure. And your bicycle, would you give it up for the party? No. What do you mean? Eh? You have your mansion, you give a yacht, not your bicycle? Why not? And the fellow said, "Because I have one." So maybe it's a little thing our Lord is asking that we actually have. Of course, Lord, if someone gives us a lottery ticket or we buy a lottery ticket and we win the lottery, we would hopefully be willing to help the church and the poor in that wonderful way. But that probably won't happen. So let's be attentive to the ways of God and to the things that possibly hold us back from really being close to God, imitating Christ. Christ was poor. And St. Paul, he lived a very austere life, really. He could travel around. He was learned. He had a high social standing, we could say, but in a sense, he gave that up in order to serve the Lord. And so he will, in a certain sense, set the measure for us, remind us of the way we should try to live. In the second letter to the Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Jesus became poor for us. He's the ruler of the world. He's the king of the world, and he's born in a stable in an obscure town. And then he grows up in a certain quiet, a certain silence with Mary and Joseph, those hidden years of work, a carpenter. And he's the king of the world. What great poverty we see on in the way of the Lord. Lord, help me to follow you closely. Help me to trust in you. I think some of our Lord's teaching, we have to figure it out also, I think, each one of us and in our way. But I find it somewhat, somewhat mysterious in a way. Matthew 6:25 and following. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? How do we live this out? I guess in our prayer we have to think about that. Certainly, to trust in the Lord. When we don't have what we need, that's what St. Jose Maria would say. That's one of the signs of true Christian poverty. When we don't complain, when we don't have what we need. So let's strive to trust the Lord. These are words of Jesus Christ. We got to take them at face value, right? Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. So not to lose peace, not to get angry with God, not to compare ourselves to others. Maybe our Lord's going that way a bit with these words. We don't need to keep up with the Joneses. Live a simple, dignified life. I remember talking to a young fellow in high school. He's a senior in high school at the time, years ago. And he said, you know, when they were growing up, they lived in a nice neighborhood, probably upper middle class. He even his parents, his sister. And he noticed, looking around the neighborhood, that he and his sister, the two of them, their toys were not as cool as the other ones in the neighborhood. The kids were, and the cars in their driveway were, you know, the parents' cars were not as fancy as the other cars around them. And he said, at a certain point, he asked his sister. His sister was older, therefore more mature, right? I mean, even if they're the same age, she would have been more mature. But and he asked, why don't we have these cool toys? And she said, Mom and Dad don't want us to go. They don't want us to have those things. We get our toys, and that's fine. What we have is fine. I mean, she basically explained to him that that was just a decision that the parents made to not, the parents can do what they want. They can, but they should try to help their children live the Christian virtues, including detachment. And that was a way. That was a strategy by that family, and the kid took it to heart. He realized, okay, this, and he is a senior in high school, 18 years old or so, 18, 19, he realized that was good. It was good that his parents raised him and his sister that way. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, and you don't need to keep up with the Joneses. Serve God. serve God. That's what the prelate of Opus Dei said in a letter last year. Just God is all we need. So let's try to sanctify our work, take care of our family, our friends, and yes, take care of the poor. We indeed have an obligation to help the poor in the way that we can. We can't just say, well, let's... The government has its role, but we also do. As Christians, we have our place, our role in caring for the poor. But that begins with our relationship with Jesus Christ. It gets to the Beatitudes, right? One of which is, blessed are the poor in spirit. St. Leo the Great has a comment on that Beatitude. Christ's own sacred words bear witness to the meaning of poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It might have been unclear to which poor he was referring, if after the words, blessed are the poor, he had not added anything about the kind of poor he had in mind. For then, the poverty that many suffer because of grave and harsh necessity might seem sufficient to merit the kingdom of heaven. It's just the very fact of being poor would be one's ticket to heaven. But when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, he shows that the kingdom of heaven is to be given to those who are distinguished by their humility of soul rather than by their lack of worldly goods. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Again, this way, this attempt to imitate Christ and the way he would live. I mean, yes, a person who doesn't have a lot of material means can be quite a sinner. And those who have a certain level of material means can be a great saint precisely by keeping God first and keeping their neighbor first and not hoarding things for themselves, having a poverty of spirit. In the spiritual classic Imitation of Christ, Kempis has this dialogue between Jesus and a disciple. My son, if you lose yourself, you will find me. Renounce your will and your possessions, and you will be the one who gains thereby. As soon as you resign yourself to me and never withdraw your resolve, greater graces will be yours. Lord, how often should I resign myself, and what should I renounce? Always and at all times, small things as well as great ones. I make no exceptions. I want to find you stripped naked of everything. Unless you outwardly and inwardly divest yourself of your will, how can you be mine? Or how can I be yours? The sooner you do this, the better off you will be. The more sincerely and the more completely you put this into practice, so much more will you please me, and so much the greater the gain that will be yours. Here too, through prayer, through I suppose this conversation with your loved ones, either those who are at the level of making decisions about things with you, okay. But the goal is this union with Christ, and to renounce again. This is not just material things. That's what our Lord is saying: renounce your self-will. You can say renounce. Attachments that we have, preferences, I've got to have it this way, or no, our Lord, our wants are our heart of hope. Here we are in the United States, a lot of options, a lot of opportunities for new stuff, right? We have to be wary of a certain, almost like a wanderlust for the things of this earth. And then do I need that every single new little technological thing that comes out? Pope St. Paul VI said in one of his homilies, technological society has succeeded in multiplying the opportunities for pleasure, but it has great difficulty in generating joy. And Lord, we thank you for the smart people out there and engineers and doctors and all who've done great things with technology and to help the world. That's great. But some of the stuff that technology provides isn't helping us get close to God. They multiply opportunities for pleasure, but that doesn't necessarily translate into generating joy. And again, we see the certain need for a certain simplicity of life, being able to, yes, to listen to the Holy Spirit, avoiding that the clutter that can keep us from really loving the Lord. And this is a little practical things. Even just looking around the house, looking room. Maybe there are things that just are in the way a bit. Not all necessary. Some of you may remember the name Bob Cousy, guard for the Boston Celtics back in the day, an all-star guard, MVP in 1957. There's an article in the paper some years ago. It's just a little two-paragraph article in the sports section. Cousy sells his wares. Former Celtics great Bob Cousy has contracted with a sports memorabilia firm to auction off numerous items from his collection, including his championship rings and 1957 Most Valuable Player trophy. It's not a matter of Cousy being destitute. He just is not the type of person who is wrapped up in the past, and he wants the proceeds to go to family members trying to pay for college. I was never one to go down to the basement and say, gee, isn't this wonderful, said the Coos. I'm not a yesterday person. And there we see, too, how the people who are generous, people who think now, people who think even apostolically, here he is helping others get to college. I mean, St. Jose Ramirez would say Opus Dei grew up in poverty, and he had to do Opus Dei and he had apostolic things, and some money would come in, and okay, this is for the apostolate. We got to keep going. We got to keep spreading. They're in the center of the main headquarters in Rome, called Villa Tevere. The 50s, I believe, maybe late 40s. I can't remember exactly when it started they bought the consulate for Hungary. Previously, the consul, they got that, and they're trying to build it up with all things they needed there, and they wanted to get a piano so the guys could have some musical opportunities, but they had to get food. And the way he put it is, we ate four pianos before we got a piano. We had to pay for food. Yeah. So whatever it takes to go forward, to be free, to not be a yesterday person. Yeah. Now it's today. Today's the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And if we're free, if we're detached, if we're living this virtue of poverty, which is such a wonderful imitation of Christ, and our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, we're on the right track. We'll hopefully see the way of the Lord, see what He's asking of us to say yes to those things that are so beautiful for the apostolate and for my own my own salvation. How hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, right? It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. For those who love money, I mean, of course, it's good to earn a lot of money and to help a lot of people with that. But not to be attached to that, not to make that our idol. That's what the Lord is getting at, to be free in that way. Again, we can look to the example of our Blessed Mother and St. Joseph, and really have trust in the Lord. I mean, this family, this at Cana. They ran out of wine. Embarrassing. Yeah. Well, okay, in this case, the Lord provided. Do not worry about what you're to eat or drink. The Lord provided. So we have so many lessons that our Lord has given us. Just try to follow him. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.